Well, good morning, all. It's the last Sunday of July 2020, Anno Domini, A.D. Can you believe that? The last Sunday. And, of course, July and my birthday in July, and lots of people have birthdays in July. I remember growing up, I would think, it's my birthday, it's the middle of July or the end of July, so that means this is the middle of summer. I better get on with it, otherwise summer is going to be over. Well, folks, that's kind of what's happening. Well, we're going to ask Mrs. Lear if she will kindly open us in a word of prayer.
Holy Father, we do have much to be thankful for in this summer season as we continue to see the beauty of your creation blossoming in our gardens, in our landscape, in so many different ways. Even in the midst of all that's going on in our communities and in our country, Lord, we pray that people would seek you, that they would be inspired and touched by you. Lord, that we would see peace in our communities, the peace that comes from seeking wisdom and understanding in our communities, in our homes, in every corner of the world. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you stand by us, that you teach us. You are our teacher, and we're thankful to be able to have you, and we listen to you. And we thank you, Jesus, for all these things, for all the provisions you make for us, so abundant. In your name, we praise you. Amen.
Amen and amen. Are you ready to sing your hearts out to the Lord? Yeah, it's the Lord's Day. That's what we do. Of course, we should do it the rest of the week, too, but at least on Sunday. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. And number three, come, now is the time to worship. Oh, come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are to worship. Oh, come, just as you are before your God. Come, one day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now. Yeah. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns. A fire goes before him and burns up all his enemies. The hills melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the people be glad, our God reigns. The heavens declare his righteousness, the people see his glory. For you, O Lord, are exalted over all the earth, over all the earth. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice, let the earth rejoice. Let the people be glad. Our God reigns, our God reigns, our God reigns. Yes, he does, and always will. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my God, in him will I trust. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust, my God, in him will I trust, my God, in him will I trust. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever, forever. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise. Forever God is faithful, forever God is strong. Forever God is with us, forever and ever and ever. And what's God's name? Jesus Christ. What's God's name? Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't know God's name. They say, God, God this, God that. Oh my God. And when they say that, I said, well, which God are you talking to? If you're not talking to the God Jesus Christ, then you're not talking to the true God. He is lovely. He is holy. Gave supremely that all men might see. He is gentle, tender-hearted, risen Savior. He is God. Now sing right to Him. You are lovely. You are holy. You gave supremely that all men might see. You are gentle, tender-hearted, risen Savior. You are my God. You are my God. You are my God. And the many attributes of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who is God, and God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's tender-hearted. He gave supremely. He's gentle. But I also want to tell you, He's gentle as a lamb, but He's mighty like a lion. The lion and the lamb. Isn't that interesting? It almost seems like a conflict or a controversy. Well, is He a lamb? Yes, He's the Lamb of God. Is He a lion? Yes, He's the Lion of Judah. And the lion and the lamb will lay together and they'll eat straw. Okay, that doesn't surprise us that a lamb would eat straw, but it does surprise us lions eat meat. Lions would be glad to eat lambs. But in that rule of Christ, when things will be different, maybe not today, but it's coming. Well, in my quips and quotes for this week, I know everybody always looks forward to them throughout the week when I run into certain quotes and certain things that I think that have merit and need to be repeated. I put them down in a little file to present them to you on a Sunday. It is of great importance to set a resolution and not to be shaken. Never to tell an untruth. There is no vice so mean, so pitiful, so contemptible, and he who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second and third time, till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it, and truths without the world's believing him. This falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart, and in time depraves all its good disposition. Thomas Jefferson, 1785. Now that sounds like a preacher said that from the Bible. That was Thomas Jefferson in 1785. In 1550, French-born Swiss reformer John Calvin wrote in a letter, "If you make a constant study of the word of the Lord, you will be quite able to guide your life to the highest excellence." And I certainly can say amen to that. And here's what I sent to President Trump. "Mr. President, please do not sign another coronavirus bill unless it curbs out of control spending, gives us a payroll tax holiday, stops paying people not to work, provides incentives to reopen schools." And by the way, when you're looking for candidates, we're in an election season. As many know, I drafted Karen Testerman to run for governor of New Hampshire. And she's running and doing a great job. And I support General Bolduc for U.S. Senate. Become a close friend of his and supporter and a few others along the way. That's what we do, folks. We don't like government. We think it's dirty. Well, I think government is of God. And if it's dirty, it's because we got dirty people in it. And so what do? If your clothes are dirty, wash them. If your government is dirty, get new people in government that are better. And what I found to do is I find the better ones, I draft them. I help them win. I run, help them run for office, and then when they're in office, I remind them of what they're supposed to be doing. And as I said to General Bodoc, when you become senator, you'll be in room 504 of the Hart Building, Senate Building in Washington, D.C., and if you don't stay on track, I will visit you. I will come to your office, and I won't knock on the door. I'll just come in, and it won't be pretty. He laughed when I said that, and I said, I totally mean what I'm telling you now. When looking for candidates to back and to vote for, our guest said that he wants someone who is both a fiscal conservative and a social conservative. Many grow weary of hearing a candidate say that they believe one way only to have them act and vote in a contrary manner. I remember years ago sitting in a luncheon, or it was a breakfast actually, in Concord, and a new representative named Peyton Hinkle from Merrimack was sitting beside me, and he had just gotten elected, and I said, well, Peyton, nice to meet you. They call me the Patriot Pastor. And by the way, I will be watching your voting record. He goes, you will? I said, oh, yes. I said, I look at everybody's voting record. And if you do not vote the way I believe you should, I will call you out for it. I'll recommend you change your ways. And if you don't, I'll find somebody else to replace you. I recently saw him at a thing that I spoke, and he's no longer a representative. And he remembered that I'd said that. We've been friends ever since. And his voting record was really good. I point us to the Bible and give us a list of telling questions to ask the candidates in order to see where they really stand. Ask them. Before you vote for them, meet them, ask them. Find out what they stand for, what their beliefs are. Without freedom of thought, there can be no such thing as wisdom, and no such thing as public liberty without freedom of speech. Benjamin Franklin. I recently had a Facebook dialogue with somebody who is tremendously tyrannical, from the lesbian, gay, transgender, intersex plus lobby community. And basically he told me that I did not have a right to my strongly held Christian convictions, that I did not have the right to speak because I didn't give as much money to the Republican Party as he did. First of all, I don't know how he knew that. I was Republican Party chairman for Maui County many years ago. He has no idea how long I've been a Republican since 1954, when I worked for Dwight D. Eisenhower, going door to door with I Like Ike buttons. But he made that statement, but basically what he said, and I wanted him to get angry at me and to make the statement on public record, I do not have a right to freedom of speech. He does, but I don't. He has a right to believe and do whatever he wants to do, but I don't. Well, folks, even at the very core of it, that's wrong. Do you know what compassionate capitalism is? People these days are talking about socialism and Marxism and all these other things, but do you know what compassionate capitalism? Compassionate capitalism is helping people to get ahead in life, in their businesses and so forth. And by the way, being that I grew up on both sides of my family with successful small business, I'm a great admirer and very fond of small business. Much of America has grown very big, but most of it started as small business. Are you looking for solutions rather than making more criticisms? Most people are loaded with criticisms, but they don't seem to have any solutions. And by the way, folks, the Lord has no problems. Do you know that? God has no problems. We do. He doesn't. But I'll tell you what he does have. He has solutions. And for we Christians in this day and age, where there's so much going on, seek the Lord for solutions rather than more criticisms. And here's an interesting point. Any government large enough to give you everything you want is large enough to take everything you have. Think about that. Most people are glad to have government give them anything that they want, but they don't realize how quickly, and many people are finding that out, how they can wipe out everything you have with a keystroke. Your bank account, your credit cards, whatever. Keystroke, and it's gone. Our faith in Christ and the work of Christianity is not a hobby. Learn how to respond to today's issues facing our nation. And with this presidential election just 99 days away or so, it's up to us to protect our religious liberties and vote biblically. We need to bring God back into governance. Because remember Romans 13, God gave us government. Government didn't give us God. No. God gave us government. And so we need to bring God back into governance as our founding fathers intended, as the Mayflower and the Pilgrims, of which I am generation 14 away from, G14. I'm a G14. And they wanted God into governance. That's why they left England and separated from the Anglican Church. So equip yourself with knowledge and learn how to talk to those around you effectively. And by the way, all of the teaching of that is very possible, is out there. We who are convinced about the Lordship of Christ persuade others. I'm not here to be persuaded by the world of what to believe. I already know what to believe. I'm here to convince the world of the Lordship of Christ. That's the calling that we get as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. And we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 10. Take your Bibles in hand and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. There are, I believe, 39 verses there. We have four readers today. We're blessed to have four readers today. So, the first three readers will read 10 verses each, and I will read the final nine. We're going to start on my left with Mrs. Lear. If you'll read the first 10 verses of Hebrews chapter 10, of course, remembering all folks to tell us where you are in Scripture and what version you are reading.
All right, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10 from the English Standard Version. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away your sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and in sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.'" When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. That was Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10 from the English Standard Version.
Okay, from the New King James Version, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 21. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. That's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 through 21.
I'm going to be reading Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 through 32 in the New Living Translation. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with water, with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume His enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think about how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who bring God mercy to us. For we know the one who said, I will take revenge, I will pay them back. He also said, the Lord will judge His own people. It is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Think back on those early days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. That was Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 22-32 from the New Living Translation.
And I'm reading from Hebrews 10 in the English Standard Version from verse 31 to the end of the chapter, verse 39. Sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassions on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have read of endurance, you have need of endurance. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Praise God from the reading of his word. I've just read verses 31 through 39 in the Hebrews chapter 10 English Standard Version. Well, needless to say, there are a number of themes there, if you will. But I'd like to concentrate on the verse 35, where it says, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. So the question becomes, are you confident? Do you have confidence? I don't know why so many people have trouble understanding the Bible. It's really not that difficult. I suppose we could say people don't understand it because they don't want to understand it, or they don't want to do it. But whenever you see something, at least for me anyway, I like reward better than punishment. I don't know if anyone else does, but that's me. When somebody says reward, I mean, when I was a boy, a little baby, crawling around, I would smile at my mother, and I'd say, cool, I wanted a reward, I wanted a cookie. I figured I smiled at my mother, I was just a little baby crawling around, and I wanted a reward, I wanted a cookie. And by the way, I still like that reward of a cookie. My wife bakes cookies for me now, and I get a reward in the afternoon if I've been a good boy. I get a cookie. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You know? So why wouldn't we want to have a reward when we see something in the Bible that says, with this comes reward? So with confidence comes reward. Now the question is, where does the confidence come from? This week at Camp Constitution, when I was teaching about the Pilgrims and the Mayflower Compact, which was actually the first constitution of government on this geography, we'll call it that, because we weren't America at that time, so on this continent, the Mayflower Compact. The word compact is a covenant, is a contract. Okay? For example, my wife Kathy and I were married in a covenant marriage ceremony. We have a wedding covenant that was witnessed and signed. And we know that with that compact, with that covenant, comes great reward when you keep it. And it comes very great distress when you don't. Well, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Wouldn't it be nice? And the Lord doesn't make us into marionette puppets. He doesn't make us into being automatons where you have no choice. You have a choice. And what we're trying to teach people, we who are confident in our faith in Christ, as I said in my quips and quotes, we're convinced, so we're trying to convince and persuade other people of the Lordship of Christ. We can't force them into it, we're just trying to convince them, trying to persuade them. I see people and hear people trying to persuade oh, the best football team is this one, or the best baseball team is that one, or the best hockey team is that one, and they try to persuade you. Look, I don't want to hear it. This is my team. This is what I believe in. People are so persuasive. Or this is the best car to drive. Or this is the best equipment to buy, or whatever else. This is the best golf ball. I remember when I was playing golf a lot growing up, playing on golf teams and so forth, doing professional golfing, that I represented Titleist. And I thought Titleist was the best golf ball, especially the black Titleist. But some people said, no, 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 the Dunlop Gold Cup, that's the best one. So we tried to convince people, well, how insignificant and how unimportant it is to use your skills to try to teach and persuade somebody about a golf ball. Well, maybe you can use the same skills to persuade people that their only hope is Jesus Christ. I know there are people that are sincere in their beliefs of something else. But folks, sincerity is not a measure of truth. Many people are sincerely wrong, though they're sincere in their beliefs, they're sincerely wrong because they don't believe the right thing. Now, of course, we have a number of verses here that are certainly worth looking at. In verse number 9, then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. Now, that was just Jesus saying that. Behold, he's saying this to the Father, I've come to do your will. But you know, all of us, regardless of how you were born, where you were born, or for whatever reason that you were born, we all come, believe it or not, to do God's will. He's given us gifts at conception. He knew when he sent us. And true, in my estimation, true joy comes from the reward of having confidence in Christ. You have this covenant with him. You have this contract with him. And you keep it. Now, all of us fail and fall short. But the Lord helps us to get back up and keep on going. And he puts his word in our hearts and in our minds so we can do his will. Not like robots, but people who love. I mean, when you love somebody, you want to please them. When you love somebody, you want to do what they want you to do, assuming, of course, they're asking you to do good things. And we look further on. When Christ had offered for all a single sacrifice for sins. Now, this is an explanation, obviously, of Jesus dying on the cross. A single sacrifice for sins. A single sacrifice, but sins is plural. There's many, many sins in the world. We can name some, and we probably can't even name all the sins that there are in the world to name, but a single sacrifice. You talk about the silver bullet? You ever heard that terminology? We're looking for the silver bullet. Well, the silver bullet is the blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross. That's the silver bullet. He sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. I don't know about you, but I have no intention of being anybody's footstool. I don't have any intention of being anybody's floor mat. I don't really like people to wipe their dirty feet on me. I mean, who does? But the Lord said his enemies will become his footstool. Well, if you don't like to have somebody's feet wiped on you, don't become the Lord's footstool. Don't be an enemy of the Lord. And I can tell you, there are plenty of people out there, the enemies of the Lord. The man that I mentioned having the dialogue with me, who's a homosexual married to a guy young enough to be his son, we met through his son. He's an enemy of the Lord. And he will one day be the footstool of the Lord. He has no covenant with the Lord. And there are many people out there, and I mean them no harm. I risk my life to try to tell them the truth that I believe, and I definitely risk my life because of doing that. They've offered a bounty on my head. I tell people, well, I should be very proud of it. You know, the bounty on my head these days is as much as King George III offered for John Hancock, who signed the Declaration of Independence first and signed it in big, bold letters because he said, I want the king to see my name on this document, and he doesn't even have to put on his glasses to do it. I like that kind of courage. I like that kind of bravura. It's in my DNA. Yeah. And since we have such a great high priest, a great priest, over the house of God, who is that? As much as I love pastors and evangelists and people who are serving the Lord that way, it's not talking about them. It's talking about Jesus. He is the great high priest over the house of God. You look at verse 27. But a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. People say, well, you know, there's heaven, but there is no hell. There's reward, but there's no retribution. There's no consequence. You know, there's only good things going to happen, but there's no consequence. Hey, have you read the front page of the newspaper lately? Come on. It's right there. There is a consequence. There is stuff like this happening. Do you think we'll be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? One of the unpardonable sins, the only unpardonable sin, is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Most people are afraid of, have I done that? If you even have fear that you've done it or concern that you've done it, then you probably haven't done it. It's the people that have done it that could care less. They're the ones that are in line for that judgment. Profane the blood of the covenant. Now, what covenant are we talking about? It's right here in the chapter. We've already read it. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. And so some have profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sacrificed and has outraged the Spirit of grace. Jesus paid for this covenant with his own blood. We didn't have to. And if you go into Old Testament theology, there was no forgiveness except by the shedding of blood. And of course we have lex talionis, which means an eye for an eye. You did this to me, I do this to you. You gouged out my eye, I gouge out your eye. Lex talionis, that's what it's called. Well, Jesus said, I'm going to stop that lex talionis stuff. I'm going to die on the cross one time for all the sins, and whoever wants to join in this covenant, it's voluntary. It's not mandatory. Mandatory. It's voluntary. But if you don't, this is what you can expect is going to happen. And folks, I don't know who's going to win the election in November. I'm not a prognosticator that can tell you everything that's going to happen in a lot of situations, but I can tell you what. I know this Bible, and I know what the Bible says we have to look forward. When I spoke a couple of weeks ago at the State House in support of the local police, Everybody was shocked when I said, hey folks, I've ridden in the front seat, which is called a front seat, friend seat, but I've also rode many times in the back seat in handcuffs. I know what police do. I know who police are. You know, I know about that. And I said, the thing is, people are saying we don't need police. We don't need military. Well, there's a time when we won't. And some people are looking at that as called a utopian society. Well, the time will come when Jesus Christ will bring that about. But you know what, folks? It's not today. It's not today. Not yet. But it's coming. And so I ask the question again in closing. Are you confident? If you are not confident, if you cannot answer in the positive, no, I'm not confident, then I have to ask you, why are you not confident? And if I ask you again, do you have confidence? And you'll say, well, what do you mean, confidence? Confidence in what? Well, how about, are you confident and have confidence that when life is over, you have a place prepared for you in a place called heaven? Or you're confident that though things are not looking really good around you in life, that the Lord is watching out over you and he's leading you and guiding you and better days are to come? I mean, obviously, who would have expected March 8th that our economy was going to get tanked and we were all going to be put on house arrest? I have to walk around with masks on and everything else. Who expected that? Honestly, that caught me by surprise. I mean, I've seen masks. I've been on the operating table where I look up and everybody's got a mask on. But I was on the operating table and I didn't have a mask on. I never saw people running down the street with masks except after they robbed a liquor store or something. So I ask again, are you confident? Do you have confidence? Let's pray. God our Father, at your throne of grace, we're thankful also, Holy Spirit, that you bring these things out from the Word of God because you love us. You're trying to teach us the right way to live. Help guard our ears from hearing all this worldly garbage. We don't want to eat garbage. We don't want to put garbage in our bodies. And we don't want to put garbage in our ears and in our thinking, because you have wanted by covenant to write your word on our hearts and on our minds. That's what we want. That's what we need. And that's the guidance that will help us go through this minefield of life without being blown apart. And we can be joyful even in terrible circumstances. And this, of course, is what we pray in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we always say, and people have been repeating it, I've heard it from many people lately, said, you taught us to say this. We'll have no other king but King Jesus. Amen and amen.